Revelation chapter number 2, and we're going to read verses 10 and 11. Revelation chapter 2. If you're able, go ahead and stand. Revelation 2. And verses 10 and 11. Uh-oh, Shane's going to get on me. He turned this thing on. Amen. Also, pray for Miss Lilia. Brother Shane said that they had two managers quit, and of course, Lilia is a manager. So they are making her pull up the slack. So pray for her as they've got her working more than she wants to work right now out there where she's at managing. So keep her in your prayers as well. Revelation chapter 2. I think this is on. Amen. It is on. Amen. 10 and 11. I'm going to read those verses and pick up. We left off last week talking about crowns. Of course, we already figured out nobody wants the crown of life, right?
No, not yet.
So we're talking about other crowns that we can win that don't require death or persecution or tribulation or trial. Amen. So read Revelation chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 with me. Here we go. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Father, bless now the moments that we have together tonight as we talk more about crowns. Lord, we know this one is one that we could earn, but Lord, we would rather not earn this one, although all are honorable. But Lord, you may choose to give us this one, Lord. We may have to suffer for it. And so as we do, Lord, may we suffer, and Lord, give us the grace that we'll need through the suffering. Lord, any of the other crowns that you choose to allow us to have or we endeavor to seek after, Lord, bless in our lives. Help us to glean a blessing tonight and learn a little bit more about you and what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's talk about crowns here for a moment. Let's use our imaginations. Everybody has seen the Queen of England. We've seen her crown. We've seen other crowns in museums and things like that. Anybody want to take a guess at what our spiritual crowns are going to look like? Anybody have a clue? Joshua? A round crown with a lot of diamonds. Okay, diamonds are good. Amen. Anybody else want to take a stab at what would our crowns going to look like, Faith?
Maybe crystals.
That's possible. Amen. I don't know. Amen. I know we're supposed to throw them at the Lord's feet. Amen. Yes, Layla?
A
gold crown with crystals. There you go. Amen. And most of what we know about crowns, we get from television. And we've all watched that, or we've seen the Queen of England with her crown. We've seen other crowns and princes with things on their head. And that's where we get it from. Back in the days of the Greek games, when Paul is writing here, the crowns that they had really was just some twigs tied together with some, you know, it really wasn't anything glamorous. The glamorous thing about it was that you were the victor. You were the winner. But most of the crowns that they're talking about biblically were not what we would call prestigious, if you would. Amen. But what is our crown going to look like? I don't know. I mean, I know what I think they're going to look like, but I really don't know. Amen. Spiritually speaking, we don't know. Is it just spiritually? Is it going to really be a crown? I mean, we really don't know. We do know it's going to be a reward of some type. We do know it more than likely stands for rulership or jurisdiction. We do know that we will cast them at the Lord Jesus' feet in thankfulness to him. We do know that we're going to have some responsibility with what he's going to give us. Amen. So we began looking at the crown of life down here. And notice what it says down there in verse number 10 at the end. He says down there that you're going to be tried. You're going to have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so we know that if we're faithful to death and don't give up, we can get that crown. But also James 1:12 was the other area I think that we looked at. Let's look at James 1:12. James 1:12, you don't have to die. How many of y'all happy about that? Amen. You don't have to die for this one. Amen. But it's the same crown. But notice what it says, blessed. What does blessed mean? Happy. Happy is the man that endureth temptation. Uh-oh, there's the conditions right there. How many of y'all are happy when you're going through temptations or trials? Blessed, happy is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life. So the same crown is mentioned over there. You don't die here, but you do have to go through some hard times and hardships. Amen. By the way, it's not because you're suffering at your job that you get this. It's not that you're suffering at the U of A, Shane, that you get this. It's not that you're suffering with your neighbor. It's not that you're suffering because your car broke down. What kind of suffering is this talking about? Suffering for the cause of Christ and suffering Christ-like, because you've done that which God wants you to do, and then you're suffering. Now, self-inflicted suffering, there are no crowns for that. There are no crowns for self-inflicted suffering. Amen. I'm sorry, there is none. You just have to trust the Lord to get you through it. But here he says, if you go through some trials for the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you can expect. Amen. And so we began looking at some of the crowns that we could get. And we started off with this one. Amen. The crown of life. And the crown of life, we said, is for those who suffer for the name of Christ, especially those who lay down their lives for him. Of course, we receive eternal life by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, but the crowns we have to earn. Amen. By the way, salvation is what? Free. A crown is earned, unlike the crowns of today. If you're in the Queen's family, guess what you get automatically by proxy? A crown. Do you have to work for it? No, you just have to be born in the Queen's family. Amen. And you get dubbed royalty. Did Solomon have to work to get the, well, I guess he had to kind of defeat treachery. Amen. But Solomon didn't have to do anything to get the crown. David just said, okay, I dubbed thee king and gave it to him. Well, not yet. David didn't. God did. Amen. But he got that and he didn't have to do anything. So we saw the crown of life. This crown will be given to those who are faithful under trial or death or unusual persecution for the cause of Christ. Then we looked at the crown of rejoicing. Go over to 1 Thessalonians 2:19. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. This is a second crown that we can win as well. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. You don't have to die for this one. Crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And notice what it says down there. In verse number 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And so we can get the crown of rejoicing by presenting people before the Lord. It's also called the soul winner's crown. Amen. And so that is a blessing. The birthday girl is here. So y'all don't let me forget to sing happy birthday to Mariah at the end. How old are you, Mariah? 11 years young. Amen. All right. So the crown of rejoicing, or the soul winner's crown, to those that win others to Christ. And we talked about that one. And Paul let this church at Thessalonica know that when the Lord came, they would be presented as crowns of rejoicing. Amen. And then we talked about the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. So 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. So this one also, you don't have to die. Amen. Y'all don't sound excited about that. She says, amen. You don't even have to suffer for this one.
Yay.
Amen. The crown of rejoicing, you don't have to suffer as well. You just have to suffer a little bit of rejection when you give out the gospel, maybe. But you don't have to suffer for the crown of rejoicing. The crown of righteousness is for those who love and look for the Lord's coming. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of what? Righteousness, doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. But what were the qualifications we said? Verse number 6 and 7. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. What did he do? Qualification number 1, I fought a good fight. Qualification number 2, I finished my course. Qualification number 3, I kept the faith. I didn't give up. Amen. All right. So we saw those three so far, the crown of life, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness for those who have done and are excited about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing because they have done his will and they're not ashamed to see him. They're actually looking forward to seeing him because of what they have done. And they're looking forward to hearing, well done. The next crown we're going to look at is the crown of glory. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter, this one, again, you don't have to die for. 1 Peter chapter number 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, notice verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a what? Crown of glory that fadeth not away. So if this crown of glory is here, we need to find out what are the qualifications. Who can earn this crown? Can everybody earn this crown? So let's look at verse number 1 to find out who can earn this crown. Because we're going to find out something. The elders which are among you, I exhort. So who is Paul? Peter writing to already. Some elders. Okay, elders. And what does an elder represent? Someone that's mature in the faith, that's a leader of some sort in the capacity of the congregation. He said, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, so that's Peter, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What's qualification number 1 in verse number 2? Feed the flock, they're to shepherd. And so you can be in the capacity where you're shepherding. Maybe you've got a Sunday school that you're shepherding. Maybe you've got some young men you're shepherding. Maybe you've got some young girls you're shepherding. Maybe you've got somebody in your class or that you're discipling, but you're shepherding somebody. He says, feed the flock of God. Now, in the context, he's talking about the leaders here. But of course, anybody can do what he's talking about. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. What's the second qualification of the elder? What does he got to do? Take the oversight thereof, which means grab the responsibility. Amen. How many of y'all don't like responsibility? You know what's wrong with a lot of our young men today that don't want to get married? They don't want responsibility. They don't want commitment. They don't want a young lady they're going to have to take care of. And so many of them say, well, let's just date for a while. Let's just court for a while. Let's just, what's worse, live together for 10 years. What about making a commitment, giving me a ring, say you love me and marry me till death do we part? A lot of boys these days, they don't want to get married. They're afraid of commitment. They're afraid of paying bills. Amen. Hey, when I got my honey, I was like, hey, come on, let's do it. Here's the ring. Amen. You mine? How many of y'all remember that Green Acres? And he said, you are my wife? Yeah, amen. I was like, here we go. Goodbye, this city life. That's what I did. I'm like, come on, Green Acres, here we go. Amen. I got my honey. And I wasn't going back. That's it. Amen. I told my wife, I said, look, I hope you don't believe in divorce because I don't either and we ain't going to have it. Amen. And so, you know, he says, you got to be willing to take the oversight thereof. Be willing to commit to being a leader and an elder and a teacher. Notice what he says, not by what? Constraint. Somebody shouldn't have to force you. I'm glad Carmen's dad didn't come to me with a shotgun. You want to marry my girl? You going to marry her? No, I willingly wanted to marry her. I wasn't constrained to marry her. I guess I should marry you. No, I wanted to marry her. Hey, huh? Yeah, before. Yeah, I got that straight up front. Amen. She said, before we got married, actually, did you believe in divorce? She said, yes. I'm like, hit the road, Jack. We going somewhere else. Amen. Hey, he says, not by constraint, but what? Willingly. By the way, nobody forced me to be the pastor of this church. Brother, anybody force you to be pastor in Sierra Vista? Amen. Amen. Hey, nobody forced me into this. Nobody talked me into being a pastor. Nobody talked me into my call. Matter of fact, I tried to talk myself out of it. I couldn't be called. No, not me. Call Brother Duffy. Call somebody. Don't call me. Amen. When it came down to starting this church, I said, Lord, now? Right now? But when he said yes, guess what I said? Amen. Amen. I was in the midst of back surgeries. Pastor Wyke and I had all these back surgeries going on. I'm like, this is not good. And my wife said, look, let's call Pastor Nelson and tell him that you are not healthy. You can't do this. I said, you better not pick up that phone. I said, if God called me, God's going to do it. And guess what? God did it. Amen. I can't take any credit for it because God did it. Amen. And so he says, if you're going to be an elder, if you're going to get this crown, you've got to feed the flock of God. You've got to make sure that you're taking the oversight thereof. He says, you got to make sure it's not by constraint. It's not forced on you. It's willingly. He said, it's not for filthy lucre. You're not doing it for the money's sake. Amen. Not for dirty money. Amen. But of a ready mind. By the way, do you know there's a lot of bought preachers out there that people in the congregation have them bought? And they can't preach on certain things. They can't teach. They better not touch that subject. Or this parishioner will hold back the finances. They'll hold back the tithe. Or they may not give to that building fund. Or they may not give to that gym fund. Or they won't give to this fund. There's some preachers that are bought. They are bought. And they dare not speak on a subject that they know they're not supposed to speak on, because those guys will hold that money back. Amen. They won't get the jet, the Creflo dollar. Amen. And they walk around on eggshells. They tippy-toe around certain subjects. You know, I can't talk about that. Oh, I can't talk about that one. Hey, I refuse to be bought because nobody called me. Nobody has a heaven to put me in or a hell to put me in. Amen. Jesus Christ does. So I'm going to preach what I need to preach. Amen. And nobody's going to stop me from preaching it. Say, well, they don't like it. If God is satisfied, that's all that matters. He's got the crown for me, not anybody else. Amen. And so, hey, when it comes down to this, there's some preachers that are bought. He says, not for filthy lucre, not for dirty money. Amen. And there are a lot of men in it that are afraid to preach the Bible for fear somebody's going to stop giving. And by the way, it's God's money anyway. Amen. And if they don't give it, they just hurt themselves. Amen. But he says, not for filthy lucre, but of a what? A ready mind. What is the rest of the qualification? Neither as being lords over God's heritage, or in other words, getting up there and saying, all right, you guys doing all the work. I'm the big guy. March, 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 march. And just being a slave driver, being a Adolf Hitler, Heil Hitler, you know, I do what I say. No, he said, not lording it over them. By the way, later on, we're going to talk about the Nicolaitans. That's what they want to do. He says, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being what? And samples to the flock. Being an example. And then notice the conjunction. If all this is done, and, which means this all goes together. This is the crown. If you can do that, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. There may be a lot of folks that think they should get this crown that aren't going to get this crown. Amen. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, this crown of glory is for those who faithfully teach and preach God's word. This crown of glory is given to those preachers and leaders of the churches that faithfully and lovingly and willingly teach God's word without being forced to do so. They love to do so. They willingly do so. And they desire to do so. God has given them that ability. So you may have the capability to be in this position where you can get this crown. You may not, but I'll tell you what, there are other crowns that you can win. So that's the crown of glory. So we've got the crown of life, amen, those who suffer for the name of Christ. We've got the crown of rejoicing for those who are winning others to Christ, the crown of righteousness for those who love Christ appearing, and we're doing the will of God, the crown of glory. For those who faithfully teach and preach God's word, then the incorruptible crown over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, let's go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Again, this is one you don't have to die for. You don't have to die for this one. By the way, the crown, the incorruptible crown for those who run a good race in the Christian life. How many of y'all plan on running a good Christian race? I believe all of us do. This crown can be won by any one of you just for running a good race. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and notice down in verse number 25. He says down there, and every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. He's talking about the self-discipline that's involved in the games that they traditionally ran there in those days in Greece. He says, now they do it to obtain a what? a corruptible crown, or one that's going to fade away. He says, but we and what? Incorruptible crown. So what does Paul say in verse 26? I therefore so what? Run. He said, I'm going to run my race. I'm going to complete my course. I'm looking for this incorruptible crown. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul is saying, you know what? I'm doing what I'm doing for the glory of God, and I'm looking forward to the reward at the end. Guess what? Do cheaters win? No, especially not in God's economy. You say, well, they might win the race. A cheater is not going to win on God's economy. Not at all. In the short run, they might. But on God's economy, they're not. Paul goes through this whole chapter 9 to pretty much defend himself to let them know, look, I'm running an honest race here. I'm doing what God has called me to do. Notice some of the things that he says here in verse number 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Now, he's speaking to the Corinthian church. He said, look, he said, check out my credentials. He said, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. And he begins to go down and give some of his criteria as to what people normally do when they're going to war, what Peter has and what he doesn't have, and what he could have and what he doesn't have. Notice what he says down there in verse number 7. Who goeth to warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? These are all rhetorical questions. Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? Paul said, look, let me tell you something here. I can have more than what I'm taking, but I choose to run a good race so that I don't want anybody to call my ministry into question. Notice what he comes down here in verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? He said, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? He said, if you're going to give your money to somebody else, shouldn't I rather get your money? He says, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the what? The gospel of Christ. Verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Going all the way back to the Old Testament. He said, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should what? Live of the gospel. But notice what Paul comes back and says in verse 15. But I have used none of those things. Paul said, nobody can say I took your stuff. Amen. Praise God. What is he saying? He said, look, I want to make sure that my race is squeaky clean. Nobody can say I did anything underhanded. Everything that I did was for the gospel's sake. I don't want anybody to say, Paul, you took this. Anything that was given to me, guess what? It was voluntary. He says down there, he says, but I have used none of those things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. He said, I'd rather die than somebody say, well, we did this for Paul. Amen. Notice verse 17. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for of necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, Brother Neil, you know how that is. Woe unto us if we don't preach God. Yeah, I got to preach the gospel. I've got to preach. I can't do anything but preach. Say, preacher, what happens when you don't preach? I want to preach. Amen. When I'm not preaching, I want to preach. Amen. I go into a town or something like that. And if I'm not preaching, guess what I want to do? I want to preach. I want to get up to the pulpit and say, man, hey, I can help you say some of that. Hey, when I'm not preaching, I want to preach. He said, woe is unto me if I don't do it. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a what?
Reward.
Paul says willingly. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He said, if I'm doing it against my will, guess what? I got something committed to me that I need to do anyway. He says, verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Come all the way down to verse 23. He's talking about some of his liberties that he has given up and some of the things that he has done and people that he has tried to reach. He said, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you. Then he started talking about this race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? He said, so run that ye may obtain. He said, I want you to run. He said, I need to run. I want you to run. Run that you can obtain this prize. By the way, you're not running against anybody else in your race. Did you know that? Your race is your race. Your course is your course. And it's not a speed competition. Guess what what kind of competition is? It's a faithfulness competition. God just wants you to finish your course. What did Paul say? I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And so Paul said, hey, look, he said, run that you can obtain. He said, then he gives them this illustration. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I've got to really discipline my body and have some discipline that I preach to everybody else. They need to be disciplined, and then I'm not disciplined, and I'll be disapproved. And he said, I don't want that. He said, I'm going to go ahead and keep running. By the way, folks, all of us can get this crown. We just have to run a good race. And we're not in competition with anybody else because God has uniquely called me to do something for him, and he's called you to uniquely do something for him. All you have to do is do what God has called you to do. And all I had to do is do what God's called me to do. Don't waver, don't flinch, and do what God's called me to do. And guess what? I can finish my course. I can finish my race. And God is good like that. So there's this incorruptible crown that you and I can run. It's for those who run a good race in the Christian life. It's for those who run their race avoiding the world and doing all they can to be what they need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ in their own race. That's why Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also come about with great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with what? Patience. The race that is set before who? Us. Each one of us has a race to run, and there's an incorruptible crown that we can gain. You may not be able to get the crown of glory for the teachers and the preachers, but you can get the incorruptible crown. You can get the crown of righteousness just for doing right and loving the Lord's appearing when he comes. You can get the crown of rejoicing by winning someone to the Lord. You can even get the crown of life for being persecuted or killed. I was trying not to say that word. What's a better word we can say? Losing their life for the cause of Christ. Martyred for the cause of Christ. There we go. That sounds better. Killed just sounds, yeah. That's what it is. I was martyred for the cause of Christ. Hey, what did Stephen do? Stephen was praying till he gave up the ghost there. Amen. So when we talk about, go back to Revelations, we're going to be done here. So those are our five crowns that we looked at that we can win, that we know of, the Bible teaches. And for different reasons. Revelations chapter number 2 and verse number 10. I'm going to leave you with a thought here for next week. Revelations chapter number 2. And so Paul says, John says, fear none of those things which ye shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You may be tried, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. He says, now be faithful. You can get this crown. There are others we can win as well. Verse 11, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh should not be heard of the second death. What is the second death? Don't answer now. I want you to think about that. What is the second death? And how often is it talked about? You're going to find out it's not talked about a whole lot. But it's mentioned in other ways other than just saying the second death. What is the second death and who qualifies for it? Interesting. Amen. Say, preacher, do I qualify? We'll talk about that next week. Amen. Because he says, he that overcometh should not be hurt of the second death. Guess what the word overcometh actually means, G2. We get the word Nike from that. Oh, yes. Get the word Nike from that. Amen. So we're going to talk about what is the second death? And how could they get away from this second death? And how often is it talked about in Scripture? For the meantime, let's be concerned with the crowns that we can earn. And there's plenty of them we can earn, amen. And I trust that the Lord will help us, amen. If nothing else, you know, try to get that crown of righteousness, looking to love the Lord's appearing because we know we're doing right. You know, Saturday we get a chance to get the crown of rejoicing, leading someone to Christ. The crown of glory, teaching and preaching God's word for those that get the opportunity to teach and preach God's word. The incorruptible crown, running our race, finishing our course. God never asks us to run anybody else's. Just run yours. Your husband, run that race. Your wife, run that. You're single, run that. You're a child, run that. You're an employee, run that. You're a preacher, run that. Whatever you are, run that race. Run that race. And God will bless. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you that, Lord, we get an opportunity to earn crowns, rewards we can cast back at your feet. Thank you for these that we have seen tonight. And Lord, many, many, many other things that we can have in the Bible that you want to give us, Lord. But this thing called the second death, Lord, help us to make sure that we don't qualify for the second death. Lord, help us to make dead level sure that we are in the first death only. The second death is not a pretty picture. Lord, as we discuss that next week, we don't want to qualify for that, nor do we want to even entertain the thought of the second death. And so work in our hearts and work in our lives. Lord, thank you for loving us. Meet our need now, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable about the will and the word and ways of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.